Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
I am somebody who deeply appreciates movies. They're captivating to me. I like getting lost in watching movies. I love heroic movies in particular, where there's an injustice that's been done and the hero makes it right. I love those movies. It makes me feel like I could do that. You know, like the hero in the scene has a sword and a shield and I'm like, I could do it. I could be that guy. And I'm like, man, I can't even do butter right out of the butter dish and onto bread. What makes me think I could... With movies, I think you and I, if you're a movie person like I am, deeply appreciates the soundtracks of movies, right? Like when somebody takes the right music and puts it with a movie and does it correctly, it's brilliant. So let me give you a couple. If you just wanted a list of a couple of soundtracks to listen to, I'm going to do a Christian one and then a non-one because I'm a pastor and I'm preaching this morning. I can only imagine... Great movie soundtrack. Go ahead and just pull that up on whatever listening service you listen to. And then A Knight's Tale. Just take my word for it. Great movie soundtracks. But here's the thing. The underscored thing that you and I probably never really think about, and it's this. In every great movie, there is a person or persons that make a movie come alive. And it's not the actors. It's not the cinematographer or the director or even the music director who makes the soundtrack. It's a person called a Foley. A Foley is a person that watches the movie for the first time and they put every sound that happens in the movie into the movie. You'd like to think that while your hero is setting the unjust right and he's running through the street, that they're recording that actor running through the street and the sound of his boots on the cobblestones is that sound. That is not how it works at all. In fact, that sound is completely lost. So the Foleys get the movie and they go, okay, the actor's going to run at this point. And they reach into a bag of tricks and they make that sound. They go, not quite it. And they change something. They get paid to make sounds for a living. And it may sound like a great job. But I challenge you to go and look up what a Foley does and realize that for every scene of a movie, it takes them hours of work to get it right. And without a Foley, our movies would sound bland at best. They'd sound unreal, unnatural. Even with the best soundtracks and the best actors and the best cinematography, the Foleys make the sounds. And here's the problem. You and I in our lives, whether we know it or not, are producing a sound amongst our culture. And it's the very thing that Paul is trying to tell the church at Ephesus. If you want to begin turning in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3, well, that's where we're going to read today. In fact, we're going to start with the 14th verse here in a second. But just imagine with me the sound of the church and what it says to culture, how it moves, how it interacts. It matters what the church does with our time, and it matters how you live your life. I want to tell you, today, I hope that you'll see an encouragement for your life. I hope that you'll experience the deepness of what God has for you through Christ. I hope that today you'll be inspired to go and live your life in such a way that you would give glory to God in everything you do and say. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he has been writing in his letter about how to deal with those outside the faith and inside the faith and the pressures of this world. And right in the middle of it, he starts praying, and he says these words. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul is writing to the church and he's trying to tell them, when you and I come to know Christ, something starts to change in us. And it's weaving a difference. And the best way I know how to describe this is Kool-Aid. When I was growing up, we had one of those pitchers that has a little button and looks kind of like pineapple cuts out on top. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all were alive during good days. Anyways, but you could pour whatever water you wanted inside of that pitcher. And if you just stopped there, you know what it tasted like? Sadness. That's what it tasted like. Just complete sadness. Even the best water in that little, ours was yellow with like an orange push button top. Are y'all with me? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, so the greatest part about that was when your parents went to the grocery store and they spent the whole 50 cents to get 1,000 Kool-Aid packets. And then you could dig through. Did y'all have that drawer in your kitchen where you opened it up and it was like Kool-Aid packets and coupons and scissors and sewing needles and markers? Y'all still with me, right? Okay, so you would dig through it and be like, this is the Kool-Aid I want. And you would close that up and you would start by ripping that Kool-Aid package open. And the aroma of Kool-Aid would fill the kitchen. And you would pour it into that water. And then what would you do next? You sugared it. Anybody actually measure that correctly? You just kind of went, okay, it says 18 pounds of sugar. Let's begin. And you just start until your arm ran out of strength. Then you mixed it up. The beauty of that mix is this. Have you ever taken sugar and just poured it into water and stirred? It just stays sugar in the water. There is something that happens magically with Kool-Aid. It takes the sugar and it goes, you are now becoming this colored water in which you'll stay forever. And you mix it up and you look in and it's clear. And you put that lid on and you pour yourself some. What does it taste like then? Diabetes, yes. That's what it tastes like, flavored diabetes in a cup. But we all drank it, and we still drink it today. One of my favorite places in town to eat at makes the most majestic Kool-Aid. You know, most of y'all go to places where there's like the soda fountains, and this place has those, and then Kool-Aid. And I go for a couple of reasons. The food's good, the chefs, I've got to know them by name, but they have Kool-Aid, and it's still good. Now, as an adult, you drink Kool-Aid with shame. As a kid, you drank Kool-Aid because your parents loved you and poured the favor of the Lord upon you. You could have poured it on pancakes and it would have made the pancakes sweet. This is the same place. I don't think they measure at all the sheer amount of sugar. I think they just take the whole sugar thing and go, not enough. And again, it's so good. But listen, when you and I are changed by Christ, he adds the sweetness that this world should have, and he mixes it in our lives. And that mix does something amazing. It makes Christ the central figure of your life. The sadness that we brought is changed forever with him. The most amazing part about Kool-Aid is this. When you pour it in the water, it can never not be Kool-Aid. It's Kool-Aid from then on. In fact, I don't know if anybody's tested this. Somebody should. But if you left Kool-Aid in water like that and you mix it up, I'm sure the sugar would eventually settle. But does it ever go bad? I don't know. Has anybody? Somebody needs to check that out on YouTube while we're doing this. Anyways, don't do that. Don't. I saw some of y'all, okay, well, he said to do that. Let's go ahead and. But it stays that coloring, and it's so good. And some of us are struggling with our spiritual walk because we've never been changed by Jesus. We're just making the sounds. We're stirring our own spiritual walk with our own power and our own strength, but Christ has never been a part of the actions. And so we've been left with sadness, but we've hit the sides of the pitcher with the spoon. Y'all remember that sound? That sound of hitting the side of the pitcher with the spoon as you stirred it? So many people in their spiritual walk are stirring waters that Christ is not a part of. And so when the world comes, all they have to offer is still their own sadness. You see, this is the beauty of Christ in us. He is hope. He is joy. He is peace. He is eternal life. He has all of that for the world, and he's using our broken vessels. The sadness that's been poured into pitchers. Don't ever forget, we are broken vessels. But when Jesus is added, the sweetness of who we should have been all along is created. So when Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says the prayer he has for them is this, verse 16, I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory. That is himself. The riches of his glory to, so that this is what happens, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his spirit. Is that he would change yourself into him. That from your inner self, Christ would start to pour forth. So when the world shakes your pitcher, what comes out of you is Jesus and not you. This is what it should look like. Jesus gives inner strength, even though our world tears us down. That's what happens. Let me ask you a quick question. This is going to be a personal one. How many of you still have that pitcher with that little button top? Anybody? If you, praise the Lord for you. I'm coming to your house. Because you probably still make Kool-Aid. Yeah, I like you a lot. This is what happens, is that when Christ takes root in us, he starts to strengthen us from the inside out. It's so that when the pressures of this world happen, and they always happen, Christ is inside going, nope, I got you. I've changed you. You're not yourself. I'm here. And it doesn't mean that the world's not going to be awful. It's always awful. Our world is awful. But what's inside is good. The most amazing thing about those pitchers is they all have scars of being washed and dropped and some stained from the inside. But you know what still happens? It can still be filled. So can you. You may think that you're too scarred or you've gone too far or God can't use you, which is just a lie from the enemy. God delights to fill broken vessels with himself so he can strengthen from the inside and start to change the outside. It's the beauty of how Christ works. There is not a look of what it looks like externally to be a Christian. It means this. If you look different than the person sitting in the pew next to you, you both can be filled by Jesus and look different. What's different is what happens from the inside out. The fruit that Christ produces. You may be tattooed or no tattoos, pierced or not pierced, wearing shorts or wearing a suit and tie. It doesn't matter because the change is on the inside. That's the beauty of Christ. That's why the church can look like us. It's why we have some freedom in Christ. We don't have to look a part. We need to be changed in part. And that little part starts to swell out and change. If you put just a little bit of Kool-Aid in water, it still changes color. It just does. It has no other choice. It brings change, and so does Christ. 2 Corinthians, as Paul writes to the church in Corinth, his second letter to them in chapter 4, he says this, therefore we don't give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day, for our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is temporary but what is unseen is eternal. Paul is trying to tell the churches he writes to, remind yourself, and it's a reminder to us today, Jesus is what we need. That's it. He is the source. He is the change. He is what we need for eternal life. It's Him. A relationship with Jesus is not a momentary thing. It's a lifestyle change that starts with what He does. If you're trying to change to please Him, I promise you this, what we can do is not pleasing. What He can do is completely holy. We start to obey Him. We start to follow Him, and He begins to change us. Several years ago, a producer came to his station. He said, I have an idea. I would like to take severely obese people and take them to a camp, feed them less than what they're used to being fed, and have them work out every day. What do y'all think? And the studio went, you are absolutely crazy. No one's going to watch that. Anybody ever watch The Biggest Loser? Yeah, we all did, right? And we did it while we were eating chips and dip, right? Or Little Debbie snack cakes, like, this is breathtaking. You go, girl. Right? Like, we all did it, right? Some of us were inspired. So we would, like, step up and stretch while they're doing it. Okay. Yeah, we're both doing it. You go. You're sweating, and I need a Coke. We all watched it. But why we watched it was at the end. Remember what happened at the end? It showed all the people coming back to the camp, gave their stories of how much they had lost, and it was like this guy that was a banker, a big guy, shows up and he weighs like 89 pounds. You can see his ribs, and he's like, yeah! And we're like, wow, you're gonna die. This isn't good. You ever watch the follow-up to those shows? They go back to the way they were. Because as soon as their motivation stopped, as soon as Jillian the villain quit screaming at them to keep running, they stopped running. As soon as they got home and went to the grocery store and walked past the end cap of Little Debbie Greatness, they went, you know what? Carrots aren't very tasty. I'd rather have those. And so, like, years after that, they've gone back to these folks, and they're back to their same sizes again. And they're much more unhealthy than they were before. You see, this is the problem with Christianity in our day, is we want Jesus for temporary moments, but that's not biblical Jesus. Biblical Jesus invites us into a relationship that lasts a lifetime. And so He's not a momentary fix. He's not a light change. He's an eternal inner change. And that eternal change, as we spend more and more time with Christ, He develops a different appetite of spiritual things for us. So we can't go back. We can't revisit who we used to be. That person died at the cross. So when you see people in our current atmosphere who are walking back their faith, who are saying, I don't know that I believe this Jesus that I used to believe, have not met Him. Because you can't change once you've been changed. So in Paul's writing to this church in Ephesus, he starts by just saying, as we read it again in verse 16, I pray that He may grant you according to His riches of glory to be strengthened in your inner being through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. While we dwell in the presence of Jesus, He dwells within us. It's a mutual gift. It's the giving of ourselves and the giving of Christ. We have exchanged our old self for Christ. You remember Indiana Jones? Walks in, sees that golden idol thing, and he's like, okay. He pours out some sand and and then all of a sudden, remember what happens? The big ball of death rolls towards him. I believe too many of us have exchanged the idol Jesus for ourselves, and so when the things of the world come at us, all we see is death. But Jesus is not an idol to be exchanged with. He is God Almighty. So when we give of ourselves, we give everything we got. And we say, what I brought with me, I don't want anymore, Christ. I want you. So would you take it all? And Jesus goes, ah, I've waited for this. You gave everything away, but you know what you get in return, child? All of me. Amen. You get it all. You get every part of who I am. You get to be called sons and daughters of God. You get eternal life. You get filled with the Spirit. You get love and peace and joy and everything that comes with that. All because you came and gave it all. A full submission. Let's not allow our lives to be half Christian and half whatever else we can control. It would be like you and I walking into a computer store and saying to the operators, I want a computer that only does what I say it can do. That'd be foolish now. We know that. Computers can do so much. But if it only did what we could do, you know how bad that computer would be? It would be ridiculously bad. And some of us have come to faith in Christ with our own control. I will determine how much Jesus shows up. I will determine how much change happens in my life. And we are experiencing the effects of that. And I want you to know something. A faith that you and I control is not faith. It's not faith, and it's not salvation. Salvation is a complete surrender. So when Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and he says, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, he then says, I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend something. And I believe what he's about to say is an oxymoron. And you may disagree with my interpretation of this next moment, but I think Paul is saying something that he believes will be a lifelong search without end. Listen to what he says. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love. Amen. If you can find the end of any of that, if you can find the height or the depth or the length or the width of God's love in your lifetime, I want to know you. Because as long as I've known Christ, I've never met the end of that. And I think Paul is trying to say that to the church. That when you and I come to know Christ, we find a lifestyle in pursuit of the end of God's love, and we never hit the sides. It's beautiful in that effect. Because our sin is going to tell you, you've reached the end. You've gone too far. You've done too much. You've said or thought too much. And so God can't love you anymore. He can't forgive you anymore. He can't even spend time with you anymore. You're too far gone. And God says, test me. Find the ends. Find the ends of my love, my compassion, and my grace. If you can find the end, we'll have a conversation. But here's what I've discovered in that pursuit. When my sin is demanding the end, Christ meets me and says, stop. This isn't worth this. Quit sinning to find the end of this. And Paul warns the church of that. Don't sin that grace may abound. Instead, find yourself rejecting sin, knowing that sin is going to lead you to a relationship that's broken from God. Amen. Jeremiah 17 in the Old Testament says this. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the person who trusts in mankind. He makes human flesh his strength and his heart turns from the Lord. He'll be like a juniper in Araba. He cannot see when good comes, but dwells in parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land where no one lives. The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence indeed is the Lord, is blessed. He'll be like a tree planted by the water. It sends its roots out towards the stream. It doesn't fear when the heat comes. And its foliage remains green, It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. I want you to know something. It may take time to feel rooted in your faith, but give it time. As a follower of Christ, I want you to know there are seasons where you'll feel like your roots aren't deep enough, but give it time. Spend time with the Lord. You're going to learn something about yourself. You don't plant your own roots. You don't expand your own roots. God creates roots. And the one thing you need to know is this. The winds will come. There will come times in our lives where it feels like the heat is coming and drought is setting in. But in those moments, you're going to realize this. It's not about your roots. It's about Jesus. Amen. You're perfectly rooted in Him the moment you come to know Him. Because we don't hold on to Christ. As a Christian, as a believer, as a child of God, He holds on to you. Amen. He is securing you in Him. This is the beauty of Christ. He is that refuge that we run into. He is the mother hen with her wings around her chicks. He is the anchor. He is the solid ground in the storm. This is Christ in us. He is the anchor we've always needed. And today, He's what you and I need. Because here's the most amazing thing about God. And Paul writes this. Verse 20. Now to Him who is able and who is able to do above and beyond all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Did you see that verse? I want to slow it down one more time. Now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all we ask or think according to the power that works where? In us. Christ in us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We are that. We are the generations who Christ is still alive in us and He is still doing what He can do, which is beyond how far you could pray. It's beyond your imaginations and thoughts. Is God that God? Yes, He is. He is that God who can do more than you could ever come up with, which is amazing to me because we tend to think that God can't. We pray as though maybe He might, but my God is big. My God can do more than my prayers could ask for. He can do more than my mind could ever imagine. That is Jesus in me. So God delights to do more than our thoughts or prayers could come up with. That means in your life and in my life, He delights to do more than you could even think. So I want you to know something about God today. Because Christ dwells so richly in us, He is desiring in your life to do more than you could imagine, more than your energy could produce, more than your thoughts could produce, more than anything you could imagine. God desires to do that. So let me tell you something about you you don't know today. When you leave this church today, when you leave your home today, when you leave to go to work tomorrow or school tomorrow, God desires to do something on those campuses more than you could even imagine. And He is sending you. He's sending you. If He is alive in you, He has commissioned you to go. So don't waste your shot. Take it today. Enjoy the fact that if you are in Christ, He is sending you to a lost world and He is not needing a single gift that you have. He can produce it in you. So you don't have to know enough scripture. You don't have to be rehearsed enough to share your faith. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have a diploma. You don't have to have anything but Him, and Him alone is enough to save your friends, to save your coworkers, to save your family. He is enough. And I want you to know something today. As He is working in you, He is changing you. You can't go back. You need to pour out on the world so they could see and taste that the Lord is good. And Paul ends his prayer by saying this, to the glory of God. I'm telling you today, God can use you. He desires to use you to reach your world for his glory. And I want you to know something. As scarred up as the outside of your Kool-Aid may be, it's what inside that will change the world. Don't be a Foley. Don't just make the sounds. Pour out the change that's happened in you today. And I want you to know something. Even if the words that came out of your mouth were bad and wrong and theologically broken, I want you to know what God can do. He never misses. Never once has he missed. So go. Go and tell the world what Jesus did to the water in your life. Show them the Kool-Aid change that's happened in you. Take that broken pitcher and run it to a lost world who is thirsty for the living water and pour it out. They will never be the same. They will never forget the sweetness of Christ that pours out of you. So equip yourself. Be ready, church. If Christ is in you, if he has saved you, you're ready. You're ready today. You need nothing else, because they don't need anything else either. Just Jesus. If today you showed up, like I said, and this is your first time in a long time to be at church and you don't know Christ, I want you to know something. He is that good. He has changed this broken guy who just continuously is broken and is scarred, and he has saved me. So I promise he can save you. And he desires to change you from the inside out. So don't try and show up after you've got all your ducks in a row. You will never have your ducks in a row. Let him do that work. Just come ready to submit and give him your everything, your belief, your faith, your brokenness, and just declare you are who you say you are. And because of that, I need you to save me from all I am. Amen. Would you cleanse me of my sin? Would you lead my life? Would you change me from the inside out? And he will. He does it every time. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for people in this room that feel like they may just be filled with brokenness. Lord, and that's what the world has to offer us. Even the best that they have is broken. But you're amazing. That you change our brokenness into sweetness. You change our brokenness into something that will change the world. So Jesus, we need you. We need you to remind us that we have an enemy that wants us to sit back and say, maybe another time. But we also have an advocate who stands and waits and declares, whosoever will make home. So that means that today, no matter who we are in this room, whether we've gone too far or feel like we haven't even experienced the world at all, we all need Jesus. So Lord, would you come? Would you forgive us of our sin? Would you rob us of our brokenness? And would you fill us with your presence? Lord, use us to change our world. Lord, we need you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org. tcqc.org. Or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.